Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 in the New Testament, following the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we come across the book of Acts. Acts tells us about the early church and the acts of the Holy Spirit in the early church, the way that the apostles had worked by God's Spirit and power in them. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, we're going to see a glimpse of some perspective on how the disciples and how the believers in the early church worked, how they got along, how they lived. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." You see, the early church, within the early church, the mindset was give or share. We could even say share. The mindset was share or give. Out of the abundance that the Lord had provided them, they had made way for others to be able to be blessed by that as well. We've had an opportunity. Melinda and I have become cheaper and cheaper in our old age. Oldering age. Every year I notice I get older. It doesn't go backwards. And the Lord has provided for us through some different ways of being able to recognize and see how stores begin to give away products if you have the right coupons on the right sale days. And so we've been able to accumulate a lot of things like toothpaste. You've never seen as much toothpaste as we sometimes have had on our pantry shelf. And we've been paid many times to get it. So we actually receive money and toothpaste. It's a really great deal. But for us to be in a mindset and a mentality of this is mine, this is what I got, and I'm a, you know, I like to be a conqueror and a conquering hero, and so to go to the store and come home with tubes of toothpaste and end up in the long run with more money than I started with, you know, that's victory for me. And so to keep those spoils of war would be a great thing, you know, to be able to look at this toothpaste that I have conquered, right? And the world would promote that thinking. You deserved this. You earned this. Look what you've done. And so you ought to be able to store that Crest Pro Health on the side of your pantry and keep it there forever, right? But the early church had a mentality of sharing. The early church had a mentality of, this is the way that God has provided greatly. So rather than hoard, rather than store for my own benefit, and certainly my own family is needs are met through the toothpaste that we have, but I've learned you can only brush your teeth so many times. And you get too much toothpaste on the toothbrush and it just gets a little gross. You can only put so much on there. And so the early church, they teach this idea of sharing. They teach this idea rather than what the world says of keep and store and grab a hold of and don't ever let go. The early church teaches us to share, to be able to give. And in so doing, we're able to have an impact in the lives of others as well. We're able to share the blessing that God has blessed us with, be able to share that and be able to recognize and see how God then is working through us and impacting other people as well. Jesus also teaches us the same kind of concept in Matthew chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew is about four books before Acts. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Tom was in Matthew chapter 6 earlier and said that Jesus had a lot to say in Matthew 6. He sure did. He sure did. Matthew chapter 6 is right about the middle part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the kind of the longest recorded single teaching of Jesus. It would seem that he went out and this is like a sermon. If you read through it, it really wasn't very long, to be honest with you. But boy, is it full of some great information for our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Jesus says here, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Jesus here, you notice he's not telling us that we ought to give. That's not the teaching that Jesus gives here. Jesus doesn't say, give to the needy. You notice what he says there? He says, when you give to the needy, this is the way that you ought to give. So Jesus' teaching isn't about giving to the needy, but rather the heart and the attitude that we're to have when we give to the needy. You see, Jesus doesn't tell us to give to the needy. His assumption is you're already doing this. When you do, this is the heart that you ought to have. This is the way that you ought to do that. You see, he puts an assumption there that sometimes we don't hold to. He puts an assumption there. He's placing an assumption of the fact that we are already giving. But again, if we have a mentality like the world has of keep or take, then that's not occurring. We ought to be giving. We ought to be in a position and a mindset where our hands are open with that which the Lord has blessed us. Be able to recognize and see that and give. And so when we give, then we can learn from this the importance of the way our hearts ought to be in so giving. The way that we ought to do it. But that giving ought to be something that already is occurring. So when the world says, take or keep, God says, give. Give. And that's how you make an impact in life. The world encourages, and unfortunately, as is in many cases within the church, the church has sometimes come along with the same mentality that the world has. You know, we look at statistical figures of different issues and moral issues within our society, and the church too often is in line with the world. So the statistics that are outside of the church are the same as the statistics that are inside the church. And I think this next issue of what the world says is one that many times has infiltrated the church as well. And that's, you know, it's okay to go to church as long as it really doesn't affect your life. You know, the world says that it's okay to be involved in a church as long as Monday to Friday and Saturday, you really don't buy into that as much as maybe what the Bible says. And so it's a mentality of, well, the Bible's kind of right. You know, it's a nice book, but it doesn't really have a lot of importance. Jesus is one way that we can have wholeness in life, but there are a lot of other things that we can have wholeness of life as well. Right? That kind of mentality that our faith shouldn't really prompt us to be any different than anyone else or anything else. Isn't that what the world says? Is that the kind of mentality that's encouraged? God says something different than that. God says that our faith ought to encourage our action. That our actions ought to follow our faith. Rather than changing our morals and ethics, rather than changing those based on whatever circumstance we find ourselves, having our morals and ethics firmly founded in the Word of God and our actions following that. You see, too often our actions lead our thoughts. Too often our actions lead what we believe about a certain thing. Too often our actions lead how we view a certain topic or a certain issue. And with true faith, it ought to be the other way around. That our faith, that our belief leads our actions. That we live according to that which we believe. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, right near the end of the Bible. It's between Hebrews and 1st and 2nd Peter. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. The word says here, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." You see, God says, live what you believe. If indeed you believe that the Word of God is true direction for your life, then live like that. Act out that faith. If indeed you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then live like Jesus Christ is Lord. If indeed you believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, then live like God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Before James is Hebrews. Right before Hebrews is Philemon, and before Philemon is Titus. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul writes Titus, it's a pretty short book. He writes it in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul kind of gets right down to it. He says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God." Notice this, Titus 1:16. "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. See, Paul gets right down to the point there, that we can claim to believe anything, but if our actions do not follow that faith that we say that we have, it's useless. And Paul doesn't mince words here. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Probably not words that I would be bold enough to use or say. I praise the Lord that Paul was able to, and we can look to his word and see that truth. Go now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We were in Matthew chapter 6 earlier, and that's part of the Sermon on the Mount that I had mentioned. Matthew chapter 7 is right the end of that Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 through 27. Jesus has all these teachings on where our hearts ought to be and how we're able to follow God in all parts of our lives. And he says in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." You see, again, we see Jesus now talking about being obedient to that word that he had taught. Don't just hear it. Don't just sit here on Sunday morning and take in the word, but live it. Put that into action. When you open your word for Bible study in the morning or in the evening, whenever you do it, don't only fill your mind and say, "Oh, praise the Lord, that's wonderful," and then go about your business as if you didn't hear anything that it said. But rather live that, follow that word that has been set before you. Not only is it a blessing because in that we're going to be obedient to God, but we see then that when the stuff of life, the storms of life, that wind, that rain that he talks about here, the storms of life, the things that we face in life, as we have that foundation on Jesus Christ, on his teachings, on the Word of God, and the wholeness of the truth that's there, as we build our lives on that, not only in faith but in action as well, then when those storms of life come, we're going to have the foundation to be able to stand. We're going to have the foundation to be able to deal with everything that comes, because God's Word gives us direction in it. Amen? God's Word gives us direction in it, and so we're going to be able to stand instead of facing those difficulties of life and falling. Facing those difficulties of life and having our house fall, having our lives just fall apart because we don't have that foundation of the truth of the Word of God. So the world says, take or keep. God says, give. The world says that your faith shouldn't make a difference in your life. Going to church shouldn't make any kind of change in your life whatsoever. And God says, live what you believe. Finally, the world says, let's keep this business about Jesus quiet. Isn't that what the world says? Let's keep this business about Jesus quiet. He's just some guy that lived a long time ago. Not important, not relevant. There are a lot of different ways in which we can have truth. There are a lot of different ways in which we can have life. There are a lot of different ways in which we can be fulfilled. That's the message that our world sends today. That's the message that too often is being taught to our children and too often is being taught to us as adults. That message that Jesus is not relevant, not important, therefore we ought to be quiet. And even to the point of it seems as if we're coming closer and closer to the idea that speaking of Jesus isn't only going to become just politically incorrect, which it already is, but also to the point that there are going to be consequences to preaching the name of Jesus Christ. It seems as if we're headed to that, and by all means, I don't want to be conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but the more and more that the truth of Jesus Christ, more and more that is coming into question. And the sharing of Jesus Christ is becoming more and more taboo to the point that I fear and believe that we're going to come to a place where the message in the name of Jesus Christ, there are going to be consequences to sharing that truth. God's Word says something very different about us having and sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. God's Word encourages us sharing the truth of Jesus Christ at every turn and at every corner. God's Word encourages us to be able to share that wholeness and truth of Jesus Christ and life and freedom and wholeness in Him with all. In Acts chapter 8, go to Acts chapter 8. We were in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 8. We don't see a command here to share our faith and to share the truth of Jesus Christ, but rather we see an example that's given by Philip. In Acts chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Acts chapter 8, verse 34. Philip is going about his business and he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch is somebody who typically has kind of a higher position within Egypt and different parts of Egypt. And the eunuch was on his chariot and he had the word open and he reads from Isaiah and doesn't really understand what's happening there or what's going on. In Acts chapter 8, verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip began talking about that very thing that they were already discussing, and he shared with him the message of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" This is like the dream for an evangelist. This is like the perfect situation. Come across somebody who's reading the Bible and shares something. "Hey, look, here's water. Shouldn't I be baptized?" It's like the perfect situation for Philip. In verse 38, he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. You see, Philip was in a position where he was committed to sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. And again, I think the eunuch made it real easy for him. But he was committed to sharing the message and the truth of Jesus Christ. He didn't cower. He didn't back down from it. He shared that faith that he had. He shared that truth about the good news of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, turn to that, 1 Peter chapter 3. We were in James earlier, and after James is 1 and 2 Peter, and then 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. So it's right near the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord." In your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." So here Peter tells us to set apart Christ as Lord and always be ready to share the truth that we have, to share the hope that we have in Him. Always be ready to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Set Him apart as Lord in your own life. Set apart Christ as Lord. And always be ready to share that truth and that good news about Him. The hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. The hope that we have even in a world that seems to be becoming more and more hopeless. That hope that we have in Jesus Christ and being able to share that. Again, the world says, keep this faith business about Jesus quiet. We don't need to hear anything more about that guy. And the Word tells us, always be prepared, be ready, and to share that faith of Jesus Christ with others. So the world says, take and keep, and God says, give. The world says, your faith and your involvement in church shouldn't have anything really to do with your life except Sunday mornings for a couple hours. And God says, your faith ought to drive your life. Your actions ought to come from that faith that you have. And the world says, let's keep this business about Jesus Christ just kind of hush-hush. Let's keep our mouths closed about that because there's a whole lot of other truth out there as well. And God says, there is one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And we ought to be in a position where not only we set apart Christ as Lord in our lives and have that faith and belief in our lives, but be willing and regularly sharing that faith as well. Putting ourselves in opportunities where we're able to share it and then being bold enough to be able to share that truth of Jesus Christ. Our world is becoming more and more hopeless, and we have a lot of hope in Jesus Christ. We have a lot of hope in Jesus Christ. We ought to be sharing that hope. We ought to be making a positive impact in the lives of others. We ought to be bringing that good, hopeful, good news of Jesus to those who are in a time of need, of heartache, of a feeling of hopelessness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Holy God, we recognize that your ways are not man's ways. We recognize that the truth that you give us is a whole lot different than the lies of the world. But Father, help us to be influenced by you and your truth. God, reveal to us the things that we've come to take on as truth that come from man. Father, help us recognize those things and change those things in our own lives. God, give us hearts of sharing. Give us hearts of giving. Father, help us to be obedient to your truth and to your ways and to your word, that we can live out the faith that we have in obedience to you. Father, make opportunities and avenues available, and we recognize that they're becoming more and more plentiful in our lives because more people are in times of need and hurt. God, give us the strength and encouragement to speak boldly the truth of Jesus Christ, to lovingly share the truth of Jesus Christ and the good news and the hope that's available in him. God, we give you thanks. We praise you for your truth and your ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.